Episode 183 of the Hogan Johns Podcast is brought to you by Jerry Haggerty Chevrolet in Glen Ellen. For value and integrity, it has to be Haggerty. JerryHaggertyChevrolet.com. Go see them in Glen Ellen, and if you do, make sure you tell them that Hogan Johns sent you. It's Patriots Week. Let's do this.
Podcasts. It's like radio, but it's not on the radio.
Hogan Johns.
We will be perfect in every aspect of the game.
Obsession. Being obsessed.
Double pass. Trey Burton dives for the end zone. Touchdown. Bears. Here's an interception. Kyle Fuller down the sideline. Now here's Trubisky. Touchdown. They kept it alive. Allen Robinson.
WGN Radio's very own Adam O.
Yeah, let's go.
I feel awesome.
And the Chicago Sun-Times, Adam Johns.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Did you order to come right?
Bring you Chicago's best Bears coverage.
They gave it to Detroit. They
land the ball.
It appears that the Bears have the ball.
They kick for the win. Wide left. Complete. Detroit brought down by Eddie Jackson. The snap. The kick for the win. It's good. Dolphins win in overtime.
Obsession.
My oh my.
Being obsessed.
And now.
What time is it?
Here they are.
Perfection.
The Adams.
Yeah, baby.
Hogan Johns.
And we are underway.
I always love that little obsession. It's like Matt Nagy said it in a really creepy way.
I don't read creepy. I read, I was going to say obsession, but.
Yeah, like a very
like
creepy.
Like possessed,
yeah,
yes.
Obsessed to the point of.
Being obsessed.
Trying to find some way to beat the Patriots on Sunday. Welcome in. This is episode 183. Shout out to 83 Nation of the Hogan Johns Podcast. What's up, buddy?
What's going on? You feel juiced for this week?
It feels like the biggest game we've covered in a really, really long time. Does it for you?
I thought week one had some of that vibe.
Yeah, you're right.
Primetime game, Aaron Rodgers, Mitch Trubisky, first game in Matt Nagy's offense. But it's different because we've seen more from Trubisky. We've seen more from Nagy.
This is sort of on a different level, not necessarily, I don't know how to, it's different though when you're going up against the Patriots as opposed to you play the Packers twice a year. That's always kind of the rivalry game, if you know what I mean. Like this seems like a validation game. Like if they need to prove they can beat the Packers, sure. But this is a big opportunity, I think, to.
Like we're here, we're for real, we can compete.
And I have some stuff from Kyle Long on that coming up here. Got a lot of stuff to get to. Some sound, some funny stuff, and some things we need to get off our chests. Yeah, it's going to be one of those podcasts. Welcome in. You can follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Our producer is Joe Romano, at Joey Joe Rowe, with an R-O.
Yeah, buddy. What up?
See, I got this friend named Joey Jojo Jr. Shabadoo.
That's the worst name I ever heard.
Hey, Joey Jojo!
One of my favorite things about that soundbite now is you can hear him moaning and starting to cry.
Before
he runs out the door, before our man Joey Jojo runs out the door.
That's right. And Joe's got a big weekend because he's got Michigan State, too.
It's on.
It's big. It's a big one.
And we'll Tommy's coming to town. Hey, Tommy. Tom. Come on, Tom.
Say like the Matt Damon.
Hey, Tommy. I wore a Michigan hoodie in Boston, and this person comes up to me. He's like, hey, are you wearing that for Tom? And I was like, yeah. I am wearing it for Tom.
For Tom?
Anytime I hear a Boston accent now, I just think about Matt Damon doing his Boston accent.
Yeah.
Because even though he's from Boston, he has like a real...
Rob Gronkowski had kind of a Boston accent going.
You think so?
In the teleconference yesterday.
Isn't he from California?
Yeah. That's what I thought. But we're doing it for Tom.
I think you soak it up. I mean, once you get there, it's hard not to.
It's pretty pronounced. I mean, we certainly have our Chicago accents on this podcast.
Absolutely. For sure.
But I feel like the Boston accent is even... You know, okay, this is a totally crazy side story. My wife has this thing, though, where she thinks every accent is a Boston accent. So we were in Vegas once, and these guys were like by us at the pool, and they were talking. They clearly had an accent. And she goes, are you guys from Boston? And they're like... No, we're from New York.
Oh.
They were not happy.
No.
It was a New York accent. It wasn't a Boston accent.
And again, I know we don't want to go off on a tangent here, but I was in a cab, and this guy seriously had like a 20-minute conversation with me about Roger Clemens. He was like, oh, friggin' Roger. You know, and I know I don't do a great Boston accent. I understand that. But it was just, I mean, I was dying in the back seat. I could barely like talk to this guy about Roger Clemens and his steroid use.
Wicked steroid use, getting... Needles in the butt.
That's pretty much exactly what it was.
Joe, you got it. That was
wife too.
That's a pretty good Boston accent. John's just doing like some kind of Irish thing. I don't know what he's doing. I'm not even.
I gotta watch Good Will Hunting again.
Yeah, I'm not even gonna attempt. That's where I just heard Damon doing the Boston accent because he was on Bill Simmons' podcast talking about Good Will Hunting. It was really good. It's a good. I don't mean that's a free plug, I guess, for Bill Simmons.
For the Ringer.
It was really interesting to listen to. So, all right. For now, you're listening to this podcast, and please wait until this is over, until you switch over to that Bill Simmons pod. WGNradio.com/Bears is where you can read me. ChicagoSunTimes.com is where you can read Johnsy. Please search Hogan Johns on whatever your favorite podcast app is. Rate and review it. We appreciate you doing that. All right. Imagine the voicemails are going to be interesting this week. Kind of a different vibe after a 3-game winning streak and a really, really tough loss to the Dolphins. Let's jump into those voicemails right now.
Hello?
Do you know who this is?
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
The Hogan Johns voicemail.
The Hogan Johns voicemail line.
Believe it or not, George isn't at home. Please leave a message at the beep.
Got any questions or comments about the Bears? Give the guys a call before, after, or even during the game. 312-222-5050.
Go Bears!
Smith Anderson calling from Philly. I mean, that's just a terrible half quarterback play. You don't need 50 starts to hit a wide open receiver running down the middle of the field or two wide open receivers running down the right sideline. I mean, come on. It's the number two pick. The number two pick.
Andrew from Seattle, just heading into halftime here, and I think there's going to be a lot of negative reactions here, but I'm encouraged. We're seeing not every game's going to be perfect like it was the last week, and I'm encouraged to see how we come out after the half.
Ray from Virginia, Norfolk. Jordan Howard fumble. Honestly, I don't think it was his fault. I think it was Matt Nagy's fault for trying to be too cute at the goal line. Three wide receivers with a six-man blocking scheme to get Jordan Howard into the end zone. If he would have just brought a couple more people inside the box, Kiko Alonso never would have ran free and been able to hit Jordan Howard getting ready to cross the goal line.
Mike from L.A., love the show. I agree with you, tap the brakes. This is not a great Bears team. When you face a backup quarterback who hasn't played in almost a year and he throws for 380 and three touchdowns and Frank Gore has 15 carries for 101 yards against a fairly mediocre Dolphins team, this is a game the Bears needed to win because next week the Patriots come to town. Very disappointing defensive effort by our Bears. I thought if we'd lose, we wouldn't score points. Instead, our defense let us down.
Jacob from California. How the fuck is a tight end running his route 7 yards from a touchdown that actually was received by Tariq Cohen, passing interference? 28-13 is what it should have been. God!
Sean in Buckeye, Arizona. It looks like the Bears have continued their 8-year tradition of losing the quarterbacks that are worse than average, like Brock the Garbage Osweiler and Plain Gabbert. I'll never understand why Vic Fangio loses to quarterbacks that are freaking trash.
James from Elk Grove. That game sucks! But hey, get them back next week. Mitch looks great. Defense will never play as poor as they did. We'll learn from it. Watch the tape. Burn everything about this memory. And we'll be back next week against the Patriots. Let's go Bears.
Leon and Lombard. What the fuck? Even with the horrible play and turnovers, the Bears were in position to win this game, and Nagy threw that away by running it on third down in OT. That was Trestman kicking on second ground-esque.
Ben from Denver, Colorado here. I want to be extremely pissed about that game, but I'm also trying to be rational about it and think about all the factors that were playing against them. And I know a lot of people are going to pin this on Mitch because that's what they do in Chicago, but he put them in a position to win, man, right? And this defense couldn't tackle for shit. So I don't know what to tell you, man. We're going to have to come back next week ready to play against Tom.
Andy from Sycamore. The defensive pass rush execution was clearly terrible, and I love Vic Fangio, but I really think the game plan was pretty questionable. You know, they're playing off coverage so much, they're conceding short passes, which essentially helped mitigate their own pass rush and played into exactly what Brock Osweiler can do. So ultimately, I don't know. I mean, I think that led to a lot of extra plays. You saw that really getting defense tired at the end. I think it was just an overall failure of the game plan. So disappointed in that.
Mike from Bloomingdale.
No Bears still suck. No Bears still suck. No Bears still suck. No Bears still suck.
All right, we can get that last guy out of there.
Yeah. Just come on, Joe.
Some idiot Packer fan calling the line. Okay. yeah, all right. None of that surprising. Some of it was funny.
I thought there'd be more Trubisky angst.
I mean, the first caller was all... I mean, look, here's the thing I want people to do, okay? People act like no other quarterbacks in the league miss wide-open throws, all right? You don't miss wide-open throws, a couple of them, on Sunday. Tom Brady.
And Patrick Mahomes. I was waiting who you're going to go for.
Patrick Mahomes missed two touchdowns on the first drive of the game. I watched that entire tape. He had two receivers that he missed, wide open, touchdowns.
Didn't he get picked off in the end zone, too?
Got picked off in the end zone, threw an interception, backed up at his own end zone that set the Patriots up for a touchdown, directly points off turnovers. There's other quarterbacks that, by the way, are good that make some mistakes. Aaron Rodgers had some misses in the end zone on Monday Night Football the other day. All right? That was a bad miss that Mitch had early in the game when Anthony Miller was streaking wide open. It was a bad miss. And no, Anthony Miller did not slow down. I don't know why I kept getting tweets about that.
I thought he stumbled a bit.
Maybe. But the ball was way overthrown. Yeah. That was not why the pass wasn't complete. It happens. Mitch played really, really well on Sunday.
Here's another stat for you. Deshaun Watson, 6 interceptions this year. 4 of them have come in the end zone.
That's bad.
Just saying.
That's bad. And for the record, I had this as Mitch's third best game. Actually tying the Bengals game last year. People forget he had a couple really good games last year. He played.
I would say this game was better than the Bengals game.
Maybe. I'm just going off the way I graded it out. I can't remember every specific from that Bengals game. It's not like I watched the tape the other day.
I remember the Bengals kind of stinking at that point in the season. The Dolphins at this point in the season are kind of resilient at home and the hot heat, humidity, and all that.
Well, and the other good game he had last year was in Baltimore.
Which has turned out to be a very good defense, by the way.
Yes.
Like what they've become this year, they're as good as the Bears.
It's a good game this weekend, Saints and Ravens. We're going to talk about it a little bit later on in the podcast. All right. I mentioned we got a couple things we want to get off our chest. One I think I just addressed. You have an email.
Yeah, let me read you this email that we got from a Michael Alvarez, podcast reporters, and who says what? Obviously, listen to our podcast. Hi, Mr. Johns. I don't like the Mr. Johns.
You don't like Mr.?
No, but it's okay.
How about Mr. L. Johns?
Ooh, that may work. Was listening to you and Hoag on the podcast post-Miami. I agree with most of what you guys said, but...
We got a but. Uh-oh.
What I always hear is, if they bill themselves as a top 10 defense, or if they say they are blah or blah... I went and looked and could not find one instance where the coach or the players publicly say they are a top 10 defense or other. So, to set the record straight, when you guys are making points and trying to articulate your view, use accurate references! It seems that when you add words into the coaches or players' mouths, it sets them and this team up for extra letdown and scrutiny when this type of game happens. Why not just say all the sports writers or all the stats sites say, ... I know you have to hook and sell so people will read, but when you do things like you do, it's no wonder that players get irritated when you ask them very obvious questions about an already established outcome. I think most players know you lead and bait, and they know, ultimately, whatever they say, the article will get your spin. Just something to think about. Diehard Bears fan, doesn't name himself at the bottom, but it's from Michael Alvarez, according to his email account.
Holy Moses.
So, Adam, I think you have something to play for our friend Michael.
So he is essentially saying that none of the Bears players have talked themselves up to a high level. He's accusing us of doing it for them and setting unrealistic expectations.
Even though the stats say, okay, you know, they're top three.
Here is what you got. Bears starting inside linebacker Danny Trevathan on September 25th of 2018.
It's still early, you know, but I feel like we can be up there. We can be at the top right now. But we keep playing like this, man, I have no doubt in my mind we'll be the top defense ever.
Excuse me?
We keep playing like this, man, I have no doubt in my mind we'll be the top defense ever.
Ever. Real quote.
Ever.
Real quote. So if Michael's listening, there you have it.
Do your research.
And we've heard others say similar things. Akeem Hicks, Eddie Jackson.
Yeah, this, by the way, took me like a minute and a half to find.
Yes.
When you showed me this email and was wondering if we could actually bring some sound back.
That's the best example we have.
But we were talking, and I'm pretty sure Akeem Hicks was talking about being a top five defense going back to OTAs. I want to say, like, I have this picture of him standing at the podium doing a press conference, like, in the offseason.
Him saying, yes, we were top 10 last year. Our goal is to be top five this year.
Yes, he said that. So, look, here's the deal with this. Our job is to cover the team and then take things that are said. And sometimes in the moment off the top of our head, as we're talking on an hour-long podcast, we will have to refer to things that have been said, but we can't specifically reference every little thing or have every soundbite ready for you at every given moment. There's a level of trust here that you have to have with us. And you don't have to trust everyone in the media, but for the most part, I don't think that, or really at all, I don't think that we just make things up when we say things or embellish things that players have said. That's why we like to play a lot of this audio for you and then refer back to it sometimes. We're not always going to have every single soundbite, though, ready to play at every given moment. So
here's the Hicks quote. I found it.
Ooh, that's... Wow. From, you got a timer on that? That took, what, 30 seconds?
From our good friend Jeff Dickerson at ESPN.
Okay.
April 17th, 2018. Here we go. Let me scroll down.
So it was during that extra mini camp.
Yes. I would say I think our defense has a good foundation and just keep building on that and getting better. Top 10 last year, looking for top 5.
There you go.
Exact quote. Now that's it.
There you go.
So I think there's a misconception that we bait and hook these guys for quotes. More often than not, that does not really actually happen.
Yeah, those were said very voluntarily.
Yes, and
especially the Trevathan one.
Especially the Trevathan and Hicks. Two guys who are seasoned NFL veterans, but also seasoned in dealing with the media. Guys who speak to the media often, more than once a week, they know what they're saying.
So and two of the guys that kind of represent the defense.
Your leaders.
Yeah.
Your leaders. Guys who have been called by other players in the defense the heart of their defense.
Yeah. All right. And I have a little thing I have to get off my chest, too. Yesterday morning, I tweeted. I don't even know if I have this in front of me. But essentially what it was. Oh, here it is. I know it ruins the national narrative, but Mitch Trubisky's last two games were clearly better than Patrick Mahomes' last two games. That was tweeted after I had seen all four of those games that I'm referring to. All right? And at the time I tweeted that, I couldn't even tell you the stats. Turns out that Mitch's stats are better, but that wasn't even what I was going off of. That's going off of the eye test, and I had just watched the coach's film of the Patriots-Chiefs game from Sunday night.
Okay.
Where Patrick Mahomes made a lot of mistakes. And people want to... Here's what's kind of frustrating. Because Mahomes is making... The hardest part about this is Mahomes is playing great. Like, I'm not trying to crap on his season so far. But he had a tough game against the Jaguars, which has a really good D. Absolutely. And then he had an up-and-down game against the Patriots. Everyone wants to... No one really wants to talk about some of the mistakes from Sunday because they scored 40 points against the Patriots, which, by the way, Patriots' defense isn't that good, which we're going to get into here in a second. But even like on the long touchdown pass at Tyreek Hill late in the game.
Oh, that's all Tyreek Hill.
That ball was thrown behind him. There's one player in the league I think can twist his body back and catch. Now, there's other players who can do that and catch the ball, but what I'm about to say is, and then still turn that into a touchdown. Yeah. Because 99.9% of the players need to be led with the football, catch it in stride to have the speed and go. He had to stop, flip his body around, catch it, stop again, set up the defender, go around him, which he can do because he's Tyreek Hill. But if that ball had been thrown to any other wide receiver, it would not have been a touchdown. Again, not a terrible pass from Mahomes. He got it far downfield, but it was behind him. Mitch had some unbelievable throws down the sideline the other day, which, by the way, impressed Bill Belichick. We're going to get into that in a second, too. I don't... Body work for the whole season? Patrick Mahomes. I don't think there's any question. Last 2 weeks, though, and I just want to point this out because the first 3 weeks of the season, everyone was like panicking because Mahomes was way better than Trubisky, and you and I kept sitting here saying, all right, no question.
Let's see what happens.
Let's give this more time. Let's let this play out. So, and I'm not trying to come back here and say that a two-game sample size means anything either. I'm just pointing out that, hey, maybe this is starting to trend the other direction. Let's just wait till the season is over.
I would say let's see it plan out even for next year.
Sure.
We've seen instant success stories and players flame out. RG3 is the best example of that. Even Deshaun Watson, he can't replicate his success as much as he's not the same player anymore. Some of that is injuries concerned, but that's part of the evaluation right now. So you got to give these guys time to fully prove themselves. Some quarterbacks will tell you that takes 2 or 3 years for that to happen. And to get to your point about Tyreek Hill's catch and run, like I labeled that as a catch and run in one of my stories today. And today's Chicago sometimes, because it's different than that 47-yard completion to Taylor Gabriel, and it's different than that 57-yard completion to Taylor Gabriel.
Yeah.
They're different types of throws. These receivers can make these quarterback stats look awfully good. Like, people complain about these shovel passes without realizing that, you know what? Patrick Mahomes has a few shovel pass touchdowns. Sure.
And also, well, I don't like poo-pooing the shovel passes completely because there's a read involved in it. And Mitch is making
it can
the
be very
read.
Convoluted play.
And he's made it every single time. He's made the right read. Mm-hmm. So that can't be ignored.
Yep. I still remember last year, everybody's, look at Deshaun Watson threw like a 75-yard touchdown pass. Like his longest touchdown pass last year was like 3 yards behind the scrimmage. Mr. Hopkins decided to take it to the house. I think against the Patriots. No, against the Seahawks.
Okay.
I believe.
Yeah.
Just saying.
It's, all right. Do you want to hear from Kyle Long or Bill Belichick first?
Let's do Kyle Long.
Okay. So Kyle Long's been on this team since 2013. He has not played for a winning Bears team. Although that was the year they started 3-0, right?
His rookie year? The Trestman year?
Yeah.
They did start 3-0.
Yeah. And then ever since then, they had not been above 500 until they beat the Cardinals, right? Is that how it all worked? Colts, something like that. Anyway, the point is, Kyle Long's seen a lot of bad football here in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Now he seems to be on a competitive football team with the kind of game that... Just think about the last time the Bears played the Patriots.
I don't. Well, my one memory of that is long touchdown passes. My two memories. Long touchdown passes by Tom Brady and a notable outside linebacker blowing out his knee, celebrating a sack of Jimmy Garoppolo in the end of the game.
That certainly seemed like it was the low point of the Phil Emery, Mark Trestman era until they came back from the bye and got crushed by the Packers. Or was it the other way around?
I think it was the other way. Let's forget.
So then it was the low point.
Let's just forget.
Those two games were the low point. And Kyle Long certainly witnessed that. So we talked to him yesterday. I asked him a couple questions about this. And here is the short snippet, about a minute long, with Kyle Long yesterday.
Given some of the tough seasons that have been going on here the last few years, what's this like for you playing in these really competitive games on a team that's clearly better?
I'm just happy to be here and being able to be a part of a great team and being able to help where I can and where I'm asked to help. And, you know, I'll give everything for this team because I've been here when it's none of you guys in here on a Tuesday. And it feels good to have people care about the Bears the same way that we do. And we just want to put our best foot forward and give a great product to the Chicago Bears fans.
Feel different at all preparing for a game like this against the Patriots?
Yeah, I mean, every week feels like the playoffs around here. And that's what you play football for. It's like in high school, if you lose one or two games throughout the season, you're out of the playoffs. And we don't want to lose around here. And we're not used to it right now. And we need to show people that we're a winning team. And we've proven that to ourselves. Now we got to go and do it week in and week out.
So he started to kind of give me the cliche, I'm just happy to be here on this team, and then he got into it and said, look, I've been here when it was way, way worse, and people stopped showing up when the Cubs were in the playoffs, going to the World Series. I mean, there were some days there at Halas Hall where there was like just a few of us there.
Yeah.
And now, how about that? I thought that one part where he said, we're not used to losing around here. That's now that only applies to this season, obviously.
Yeah, I read that as, well, his whole quote there, his second quote, his answer to your second question. I read it as they're a competitive team, but they're still learning how to win.
Yeah.
That's how I heard it. Maybe I was zoning out there for a second, but that's what I heard.
Well, yeah, the point is it's a different vibe this year. They don't expect to lose. They're not going into games with that kind of loser's mentality that, I'm not saying they had it because they were bad, although there was certainly some bad football, but it goes back to what we talked about earlier in the season. They had to learn how to win.
Yes. And
that three-game winning streak, though, I think went a long way to changing that mentality where, okay, we can go in every week, even against the Patriots here, knowing we have a chance to win. We expect to beat that opponent. I think that's a huge difference.
Starts with the coach.
Yeah.
Starts with the quarterback. They've changed the vibe at Halas Hall. That's where it starts. That's where it starts. And you got a coach there on record who was very impressed. What do you make of Bill? You want to play Belichick right now? Before we come on to him? Because there's some people online like, oh, he's, you know, the Sith Lord that he is just playing mind games. But what do you got?
Well, here first, Joe clarifying to me that it did go Patriots 51, Bears 23 in week 8 of 2014. That was the game you're referring to where they're just going up and down the field.
Yes,
and Lamar Houston then blows out his leg celebrating a sack when they're getting killed. Which, whew. Then week 9, they had the bye, and Phil Emery's up there doing a press conference talking about Brian Urlacher challenging him. Remember that whole deal?
Oh, yeah.
Urlacher said something.
He did a research project.
And he had a whole research project, like, challenge. Oh, God.
So then came the Packers game after that.
Then comes week 10 in Green Bay. Sunday night or Monday night? I forget. It was definitely a night game.
Sunday night. I was there. I lost my damn mind.
And I'll never forget the image as they're getting blown out, still in the second quarter, and there's nobody within 25 feet of Mark Trestman on the sideline.
That's when
it was like, this is over.
Yes, that's when, well, the front office decided it was over.
Yeah.
That's when the McCaskey family gathered and decided that big changes were coming.
By the way, I think the same thing happened this past year against the Packers, this time at Soldier Field, and that loss to Brett Hundley. And John Fox's challenging plays where the ball gets handed to the other team. I think the same thing happened. I think that was the day where they knew change was coming. Change was a coming. Well, one place where change hasn't happened in a really, really long time is New England. Or Bill Belichick, love him or hate him, the guy knows what he's doing. And there's a little bit of a misconception because if you ask Bill Belichick good questions, you get good answers. And it's always been that way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
People just think like, oh, he doesn't talk to the media. He doesn't care. He doesn't even try. Now, he certainly carries, if you watch his press conferences, it looks like he doesn't care. And even when you listen to the audio,
very monotone.
It's very sleepy. But I'm telling you, if you took the words out and just read what he's saying, there is stuff in here. So yesterday we had a conference call with Bill Belichick. So this is Chicago reporters talking to him and some really interesting stuff on the offense. We're going to actually play this for a few minutes for you because I think it's that interesting. However, I did leave the beginning part in. A little background on this. We were supposed to do the conference call in the morning. Didn't happen until later in the afternoon. And grumpy old Bill, as people like to think he is. He was very, very nice about it.
I think this is his best attempt at humor.
You think so?
Yeah, yes. Let's play it.
Him apologizing here? All right, here we go. The Bill Belichick conference call from yesterday.
Hello?
Hey, Coach. Can you hear us okay?
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, I apologize for the mix-up from earlier in the day. That's really my fault. I thought that you were going to call me, but I was supposed to call you, and I just blew it. So I apologize for that.
That's okay, Coach.
That's
right. Thank you.
No problem, Coach.
Bill, as you familiarize yourself with the Bears' offense, what stands out to you about the way that they're using Tariq Cohen right now?
Long pause before every answer.
He plays about, let's say, looks like a little bit less than 50% of the time, and he's very, he's in a lot of different places. He's hard to find. He's a dynamic player that can
that can run, catch, really threaten like probably every yard of the field on the every yard on the football field from sideline to sideline, up the middle, deep. You can throw it to him, you can hand it to him, and he's elusive with the ball, and he's elusive to be able to get open so the quarterback can get him the ball. So that's just, those are great skills to have. Any one of those is good, and he's got several of them. So he's very hard to tackle, but they do a great job of mixing him, not just putting him in the game, but who he's in the game with, what the combinations are, and then where they locate them and so forth. You know, there are a lot of multiples. It's hard. Coach Nagy does a good job with that, and he's a special player that you got to know where he is at all times.
Overall with their offense, where have you sensed progress that the Bears have made in recent weeks?
Long pause.
They're pretty good, period. I think like any team, as you go through the year, your execution level gets better. Your timing and whether it's backs reading run blocks and setting blocks up, whether it's the quarterbacks and receivers making adjustments and so forth. But, I mean, like the execution of the play from Trubisky to Gabriel down the sideline against Miami, I mean, that's about as good a throw and catch as I've seen all year. The execution on that is like 99 out of 100. I mean, it's a great, great throw, great route, great catch. I mean, it was like a few inches to get the ball in there, 50 yards downfield, and that's where it was. So I just think the overall level of execution, we've seen it on our team. You see it on a lot of teams. Doesn't mean that every game is better than the next, but you start putting little things together and doing them a little bit better, and you know, it only takes one thing to mess the play up, but the more things you do right, the better your chances for success. And you know, I think you see that with the Bears' offense and the running game, which they've been very productive running the ball, passing the ball. They utilize all their players, the backs, the tight ends, the receivers, the quarterback. They all have production, and so if you take one away, they just go to the next guy, and that's hard to defend. And there are a lot of options on some of those plays as to which guy is going to end up with the ball based on a quarterback's decision, or you know, that's a check with me type of play, you know, bubbles and look passes and RPOs and things like that. Then it's up to the quarterback to make the right decision, and Trubisky's done a good job of that. So I think all those things are, you know, they keep getting better, and they're hard to defend.
Bill, what are your impressions of Trubisky specifically as a thrower of the football?
I think the most important thing for a quarterback is winning football games. So I don't think it's about stats. I think it's about doing what it takes to make your team, to help your team win. And I think he's done a real good job of that. And Bears have lost two games. One on a game where they were in control of the game, and another one they lost in overtime. So, this really looks like a 5-0 team to me. If you change one or two plays, you said that about a lot of teams, but that's the league we're in. I think he's done a good job of getting the ball to the players that are open or in space and letting them be playmakers, and he has a lot of them. And so that's the quarterback's job, is deliver the ball to the playmakers and let them go. And I think he's done a good job of that. And he's played he's a tough kid, which I respect. So, Bill, you know, that's what we would ask our quarterbacks to do, to make plays that help our team win, to get the ball to the players that are open and in space. It's not about stats. It's about doing what you need to do to win. And sometimes throwing an incomplete pass is the best thing a quarterback can do to help his team.
Bill, since you guys developed Brady all these years ago, how has the timeline of developing a quarterback been hastened?
Man, this is where it goes downhill.
Yeah, I don't know. Look, every team, every quarterback, every situation is different. So, yeah, I don't know.
Oh, Pat Finley just derailed the press conference.
That was, you know what? That was. I had a question. I could not make the teleconference because I had to go pick up my kid for basketball practice.
Unacceptable.
Because I got moved back. Pat. My question was.
So, Pat, it's really you who ruined the press conference.
Yes, Pat.
It's really you.
Yes, yes.
And by the way, it wasn't ruined. He went on for another. Like 8 minutes. Yeah. Some really good answers. Hopefully, if you're driving around in your car right now, you didn't fall asleep.
Siesta.
Because if you could get over like the monotone, he's saying some really interesting stuff about Trubisky.
I actually appreciate the pauses because
he thinks about what
he flipped through his notes.
He had something in front of him
to make sure he got Gabriel's name down.
Yeah,
and I respect him actually using names. Sometimes these coaches will just use numbers.
Yeah.
Right, I know Nagy does it with his own team, but that's just his style. But we've done a lot of these teleconferences with other coaches. They just use numbers. They like refuse or can't remember certain names. He remembers names. Very impressive.
I forget if it was you or somebody else during practice yesterday I was talking to. We're trying to figure out, because Belichick's usually really good at taking away one weapon. And we're trying to figure out which weapon that would be. My guess is it's going to be an emphasis on 29.
Here's the problem with that, though. If you want to compare him to Tyreek Hill, or if you want to compare him to Kareem Hunt, or view him as some hybrid of the two, which I think he is, the Patriots have not done that against the Chiefs.
No, they haven't.
They have not. They've had better success at eliminating Kelce. I don't think they have the matchup to win that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They can't just bracket him with the safety over the top and their cornerback, you know, helping out. They don't have that type of personnel to eliminate Tariq Cohen.
And what people aren't realizing is I think Taylor Gabriel's really established himself as also a hybrid of that. They kind of have two Tyreek Hill type players. One's a wide receiver and one's a running back, but they can both do the job. They've been giving Gabriel handoffs too, so you can't really stop them both.
And why ignore Allen Robinson? Look, the Patriots' history of eliminating the best threats more often than not applies to number one receivers. Mm-hmm. Like their Super Bowl run in, was it 2016, the last one they won. Look at the playoff history. They did it against DeAndre Hopkins, I think, Antonio Brown. There's one more in there. But they stopped number one wide receivers throughout the playoffs. So Allen Robinson, still in my mind, is the Bears' number one wide receiver, but that's the point. We asked Matt Nagy that yesterday. That was my question to Matt Nagy, is, you know, as a play caller, how does that history of the Patriots doing that kind of affect you? And he goes, well, we got a lot of guys. Got a lot.
And I've been trying to figure out who gets the advantage of the fact that the Patriots are playing essentially the same offense.
He had a good answer to that. Nagy had a good answer.
Yeah, he did. He said, it goes both ways because the thing is the Chiefs' weapons are different. Like we just said, like Tyreek Hill's different than Cohen and Gabriel. A bit, it's the same idea. Yeah. The Bears don't have a Travis Kelce right now, but they have
an Allen Robinson.
Yeah, well, and even Trey Burton. You can't lose Trey Burton or he's going to be open. So it's the same style. It's the same. You might see some same tendencies and formations and things like that, but I think it's different enough that it's actually Nagy who can look at the tape and look at what the Patriots did defensively to stop some of this and how they tried to stop Tyreek Hill. I almost feel like Nagy actually gets the advantage.
It's a different arsenal of weaponry. And again, Tariq Cohen has emerged. I think he's the Bears' best threat. I really do. Because he could do so many different things. And coming out of the backfield, I mean, he could take that quick slant coming out of the backfield against a linebacker and do significant damage to you if you don't have a safety under the top. Even if you do have a safety over the top, which the Dolphins did, make some tackles. Very elusive, very good in the open field.
I'm going to do something I've never done before on this podcast, but you'll see why, because it has to do with Tariq Cohen. And I want to hear your guys' thoughts, but it has to do with fantasy football. Okay? I know people hate talking about fantasy football teams, but this speaks to the value of Tariq Cohen, I think. All right. So I had a hole at my RB2 spot. Like, hole, I mean, literally got a zero the last 2 weeks out of my second running back. And because my philosophy has always been, all right, I have Todd Gurley as my number one back. I can find somebody on waiver wire to get me like 8, 9, 10 points every week if I'm strong everywhere else. And it's been working. It's been working. But I'm like, all right, I got to go out and find a second running back. And I have some really good wide receivers. So here's what I'm getting at. I traded Mike Evans this week for Tariq Cohen.
Ooh, that's bold.
And straight up, that looks like I lost a trade. I get it. 1-1.
Not recently.
Well, that was my thinking. I think the Buccaneers are about to be a tire fire. And Winston, Evans hasn't been the same guy since they changed their quarterbacks at halftime at Soldier Field a couple weeks ago. So that's why I chose Mike Evans there. But my thinking, of course, is that, all right, well, I have depth at wide receiver, so it's going to help my team overall by fixing my running back situation. But even just straight up, I don't think that that trade is as bad as you would think it would be.
No, no, not in terms of where it's trending
right
now. My number one rule for fantasy.
And Joe, by the way, I want your thought on this too in a second.
My number one rule for fantasy is you want players on good competitive teams. So I don't care if you have, the Buccaneers are a perfect example. They got all sorts of players you want on your fantasy team, even like your quarterback, Jameis Winston. But if they're not a good team, there's something in it where the production won't be the same. You won't experience those 6 touchdown performances that Mitch Trubisky have. You won't have the type of performances that the Rams consistently have. These good teams just produce a lot more points for you, and it's more consistent throughout the year, obviously, because those teams are more consistent, but you just can't go by the star power. Like, I'm kicking, I got David Johnson on my team.
I was, by the way, he was the other guy I was trying to trade for.
Yeah.
This week, because I was trying to hope I could buy him low.
Yes. So my thought on that, I was concerned early, especially when Sam Bradford was being Sam Bradford. But I think Josh Rosen kind of changes things. I don't think they're a good team, but the Josh Rosen dynamic, I think helps David Johnson. So there's my theory on fantasy football.
Okay.
I'm 5-1 in my league right now. I've won a few titles, just to say.
Yeah. I'm 4-2 with most points in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
But it speaks to your point. Most of my team, Rams, Chiefs, Bears. That's most of my team right now.
Yeah.
Because that's been my strategy. And don't give me this Bears homer crap. I haven't had a Bear on my fantasy team in like 8 years. Because they've been terrible offensively.
So Sunday Night Football, that 75-yard catch and run that we're talking about from Tyreek Hill.
Yeah. You have him?
That won me that game.
Yeah, I bet. He's ridiculous. Joe, is that trade crazy?
Those names definitely make my eyes bug out a little bit, but I understand where you're coming from. What, like, when you say depth, what kind of depth are you talking about? What other wide receivers do you have?
Well, Robert Woods is my other one. So I basically had 2 wide receiver ones.
Yeah.
He's been playing great. And then...
is it a PPR? Oh,
yeah, it is. Oh, Taylor Gabriel, who's been huge lately.
Homer.
Same thing, trending up. Yeah, Homer,
yeah,
right?
He's thinking Homer. Yeah, I mean, I can see where you're coming from. And
Hello?
I'd rather have a running back than a wide receiver, but that's also... gotten me into some trouble too. Cohen's been good. I have him on multiple fantasy teams. I think he's a good ad, but I'm not sure that I would trade Mike Evans for him. But also,
yeah, no,
it's hard to get a gist of your team without, you know, looking at it and see where you're at and all that stuff. But
we also have an OP position too. Anyway, who cares? Let's move on. That's enough fantasy talk. We should jump into this game. We're running behind, but real quick before we do. Speaking of conference calls, we also talked to Rob Gronkowski yesterday. I tweeted this out. I promised you we'd play it on the podcast. We're going to play it. It's awesome.
Rob, have you heard of Adam Shaheen?
Sometimes.
I love it.
The long pause.
A little bit different of a pause than Bill Belichick.
Yeah, it was a no. I have no idea who that is.
Like, I can't Google him fast enough.
Rob, have you heard of Adam Shaheen?
Sometimes.
It's like he thinks it's like.
Look, I know where it's coming from. He didn't want to say no because he didn't want to, like. He's totally caught off guard. Didn't know who he was.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't want to be disrespectful by saying he didn't hear him, and then he just sort of got caught up in the middle.
You would still think a guy would be aware of somebody called Baby Gronk.
You know what? I almost give him credit for not knowing.
Yeah. it's so Gronk not to know.
Yeah, I mean, he's dialed in to his own Gronk life in Patriots football. He doesn't need to know who Adam Shaheen is.
You know, he's going to make millions with his own reality show when his football career is over. Millions.
Sometimes.
I died. That was one of those conference call moments where I had to bury my head in my hands because I did not want to laugh out loud.
So I was listening from a distance, and Pat Finley literally left the teleconference area and walked over to me and goes, did you hear that?
It was great. It was great. All right, let's jump into this preview. Let's pick this game. The Patriots come to Soldier Field. Are you surprised by this line at all? I think it speaks to some of the respect the Bears are actually getting. They're only a 3-point underdog, but they are at home. I don't know. I expected this to be more like 4 or 5 points.
Really? No, I thought it would just be close. Yeah.
Coming off the loss, and the Patriots just beat the Chiefs.
But that was a tight win.
Yeah.
Patriots defense is not good. Trubisky's putting up points. The Bears defense is better than the Chiefs defense. There's some things that kind of play in the Bears' favor here. Just saying.
Like what?
Just saying. Well, have you not looked at the state? Look, the Patriots can't rush the passer.
They can't, but
they're like number 31 or something.
They
like
also get a lot of takeaways.
You know, so did the Dolphins.
I think they have 12 so far this season.
Dolphins had 10 interceptions. 11 now, sorry.
What's your big question of the week?
I'm focusing on defense. I think the tackling will be better.
I agree. I don't think it'll shock me if they come out and that tackling. The more and more I watched the tape, just made no sense.
Yeah.
Other than they were tired and hot. And I know people don't want to hear that, but it doesn't make sense.
Like even Adrian Amos, people like to say, oh, Pro Football Focus, Adam, you know, whatever. He's a better tackler than I am.
That may have been his worst game as a Bear.
Yeah, he's more often than not a very reliable tackler, very physical tackler, too. So my question is, I don't want to say how much can they respond, but they need to make a play. Like they need to make a couple big plays. Whether that's interception, getting to Tom Brady. Like, what does the defense do specifically to respond after last week, but with Tom Brady as your competition? That's my emphasis. That's my focus for this game.
Mine is a little bit more specific, although I agree with everything you just said. How effective is Khalil Mack? I think he plays. He's never missed a game in his career. I'll be shocked if he goes from gutting out an ankle injury in one game to not playing at all in the next. Now, it is somewhat notable that we haven't seen him at all this week. Have you physically seen Khalil Mack? Hasn't been around the locker room?
I'm trying to think.
I haven't seen him in the hallway.
He's not in the locker room much to begin with.
Wasn't out there at practice. Now, he may have come out later after just being out there on the practice field. He did not practice at all, but we didn't even see him out there doing anything on the side, standing around, anything. Again, I'll go back to the fact he's never missed a game. I'll be shocked if he doesn't play Sunday. But how effective is he? That matters. How effective is Khalil Mack? This is the type of game where I think he could potentially put you over the edge and win.
Yes, yes. He didn't miss much time against the Dolphins. I think some of his ineffectiveness, we have to give the Dolphins actually credit for. The quick passes, mm-hmm. short throws. They did things to negate his impact. Yes, was he hobbled? Was he hindered? Of course. Is he going to be hobbled and hindered in this game? Sure. But I think he could be better. I do think he can be better. I don't know. That is a serious question. But look, he had only in four games against the Patriots, I think he's not overly productive against them. They have a history of stopping him as well. I feel like the last game, I was texting with a reporter from Boston, is that Khalil Mack was actually pretty bad against the Patriots the last time they faced them.
Interesting. Well, that brings up something else. It's time for Leonard Floyd to go get the quarterback. He's been playing well. He has been playing well. He got some pressures in that game the other day. He's not playing, though, like the number 9 overall pick he was. And I don't know that that's ever going to happen at this point. In the hand, I get it. He's playing with the hand. He's got a brace, whatever. Go sack the quarterback.
Yes.
You can't have zero sacks this deep into the season. Yeah. Go sack the quarterback.
Yes.
And I wonder, beyond it just being hot and humid or whatever it was the other day in Miami, the fact they went into that game, tell me if you think I'm off base here. I almost feel like, to some extent, it even shocked them that Khalil Mack got banged up and wasn't exactly himself. You know, like the rest of the pass rush has sort of been like, well, he's going to take care of business usually. I mean, that's what he's been doing. Kind of having a week now where there's a little bit of a doubt, and at least in your mentality, you have to go, well, maybe Mack's not going to be a beast in this game. I need to step it up.
Well, there's a few guys who I thought could have been better in that game. Everybody's going to look at Mack, of course, but like I felt like Akeem Hicks wasn't mentioned until late. Yes, he made that big play in the goal line in overtime, but
I'll tell you what, I felt the same way when the game was over. When I went back and watched the tape, he was really good again. Mm-hmm. He made a lot of run stops.
Not enough. I mean, Frank Gore ran for over 100 yards.
Yeah. I thought
Goldman, Aaron Lynch,
all those guys could have played better. Lynch was non-existent.
They did not touch Brock Osweiler until Nick Kwiatkowski blitzed.
I know.
Kwiatkowski was on the field for 3 defensive snaps. Just saying. A lot of guys on that defensive front could be better. That's why I think this kind of bodes well for this week. I really do.
All right. Bold predictions. I'm about to get as bold as I think I ever have.
I'm waiting.
I don't know if this... Maybe this is crazy prediction, not just bold. I think Kevin White catches a touchdown in this game.
Absurd predictions from Adam Hall.
And here's my thinking. This dawned on me while I was watching the tape.
Be more specific.
His okay.
First targeted pass. First time he's targeted this season.
No.
Okay, come on.
No.
He's got to get targeted first.
I know. But I was watching the tape the other day, and it's gotten so obvious that when he's in the game, they're going to run the ball, that I just feel like Nagy's going to spring him loose on one of these sometime. And it's going to, and if you're going to do it, this is the game to do it. Because you know the Patriots. I mean, we just heard Belichick's conference call. He knew like the percentage of playing time of Tariq Cohen.
Yes.
They're going to be all over the tendencies of what they do. To me, this is the perfect opportunity, like that against the Bucs, right? When they faked the screen to the outside and Josh Bellamy slipped out and got a touchdown. And
so this week.
But I go back.
Okay.
Remember the touchdown he had against the Chiefs in the preseason?
No. I'm going back.
It was like a 50-yarder.
Oh, yes, it was from Chase Daniel.
From Chase Daniel. I'm just saying. This is totally bold. There's no way to predict it.
A bit absurd.
It's absurd predictions. We could come up with a new soundbite.
I think that falls in line with where I'm kind of going with this game, especially with your Josh Bellamy comparison because of the Bucs game. But go, my bold prediction, I want to stick with the defense. How's this? 3 sacks and an interception on Tom Brady.
Okay.
Is that bold? Is that bold enough? They're rolling right
that
now.
That seems doable.
They're rolling right now.
That seems doable to me. I mean, they're
okay.
Pass
okay,
rush returns.
All right, since you got this Kevin White prediction, I fine. 4 sacks.
Okay.
1 interception.
All right, we can do it. New segment next week called Absurd Predictions, and then we can have another segment called Boring Predictions.
Yeah. Fine, who you picking, jerk?
Predictions. This is the first time all season that we're here on Thursday morning, and I'm really torn on this. And I think it has to do with the health of Khalil Mack. It's just so hard to predict. This just feels like one of those games where he can be the difference maker. And I guess if I had to imagine, I don't necessarily feel comfortable enough that he's going to be the same Khalil Mack.
But that's fine. Just as long as you have him, though. Like, I'd be more concerned if he didn't return against the Dolphins. I'd be more concerned if he didn't stand in front of the media and tell us, I'm going to be okay.
Well, and the other thing is that it's not like you can just take out the 2 long touchdowns that the Dolphins had in that game. But those were, for the most part, very uncharacteristic. Just the fact that on both of those, Adrian Amos missed a tackle that he usually makes.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And if you do take those off the ledger, the Bears only gave up 13 points, and the one touchdown would have been on the first drive of the game when it's the first 15. And they came out against a quarterback they didn't think that was playing. I get that it's Brock Osweiler.
Nick O'Leary was the second coming of Jason Witten.
It just... It was very close to not being as bad as it looked, I guess is what I'm saying. And I still think people are ignoring the strides that the offense made in that game, picking up the defense. Let me hear your prediction first. Maybe you can sway
me. Walking out of Hallis Hall, what was it, Tuesday?
Yeah.
What did I say? Got a strange gut feeling about this one.
Yeah, that's what you said.
So I'm just giving you my prediction.
He's doing it, folks.
31-28 home team. I think they could put up points against the Patriots. A lot of teams can put up points against the Patriots. You got to put up, you have to put up a lot to beat them. You do. I like Matt Nagy and the Chiefs' history in the regular season against them. 2-1, Matt Nagy was with the Chiefs. The one loss was in the playoffs. Patriots are just different then. The defense, the Bears' defense is better than the Chiefs. And there's an anger there, man. And I'm trying to respect that anger.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to our guy Michael Everest's point, they think they're a top five defense. They're going to try to prove it this week. I think they make enough plays to prove their, not only that they're competitive, but they're a playoff. I don't want to get too ahead of myself, but I do think they can beat the Patriots. Hence my prediction, 31-28.
Sexy.
Oh, man. You did it. Joe, do you know what the over-under is on this game by any chance?
Not off the top of my head.
That I didn't look at. I'm just curious where they think the points are going to go here. Bears 24, Patriots 23. Cody Parkey gets redemption. Walk-off field goal at Soldier Field.
Okay.
I do think it's going to be really close.
It's going to be a competitive
game. I'll be really shocked if it doesn't come down to one team or the other. It might come down to who has the ball last.
Well, then, if it's the Patriots, Tom Brady could have his 44th game-winning drive of his career.
I mean, let's not forget this Patriots team only put up 10 points on the Lions and lost 26-10.
On the road.
They put up 20 on the Jaguars, and they were, I think one of those was like kind of garbage time.
Now, Julian Edelman is back, so things are...
It's been a different offense.
Yes, yes, yes. And they always start slow.
They've put up 38, 38, and 43 in their last three games. None of those defenses were that good, though. We're talking about the Dolphins, Colts, and Chiefs.
And the Dolphins game was not in Miami.
No, it was not. And I agree. I think I'm not impressed with the Patriots defense. I think the Bears can score. And I do think Brady's going to get a couple touchdowns in this game. But what I said 23 points, so that's basically two touchdowns and three field goals or something like that. I think the Bears can get stops in the red zone. They're going to move the ball a little bit. It's not going to be a shutdown defensive performance.
No, absolutely not. That would surprise me.
If I was the Patriots, I would have wanted the Bears to win that game on Sunday. Because if Cody Parkey's field goal goes in, you're kind of masking a lot of problems that happened there defensively.
They escaped.
Now it's more of an anger that builds up for you all week.
Especially up front.
I agree.
Because that's where it all starts. And to me, if you're marking down letdowns, yes, Adrian Amos, unacceptable, bad tackling. But the Bears' defensive front is supposed to be their strength. It was not against the Dolphins.
All right. We should move on. We're running really late here today. But listener prop bets. I did solicit these. We got a couple good ones. By the way, last week, the Jay Cutler mentioned. We did not get a Jay Cutler mention. Does that surprise you? Kind of surprised me.
Yeah.
Considering that red zone turnover, yeah, definitely surprised me.
Ooh. And that throw across his body late.
Yeah, I think
floated.
I think like some people have obsessed over that play. I know we got to go run through these picks, but that's the called play, by the way. They had one earlier in the game where he actually completed it, shorter pass.
But it's still your job to see the safety over the
thumb. Yes, yes, yes.
Can't throw that ball.
Took a risk.
Can't throw that ball. All right. And then the other one was that we sort of talked about was the 85 Bears-Dolphins game. That did get mentioned. So hit the over on that one, under on Jay Cutler mentions. You guys both went over on Jay Cutler. I took the under.
Yeah, I'm surprised. What bragger. Do you got this week?
Yeah, bragger, exactly. Couple good ones. One brings up how Dan Fouts is on the call for CBS. And so references to West Coast offense, 2.5.
Okay.
So we could say, like, if he just says the words West Coast.
Okay.
2.5. I think I'll take the over. He also says references to Air Coryell.
Ooh.
1.5. I'll go under on that one, but I do think it gets mentioned.
Yeah. I'd go under on that one, too.
That's from Dan Hannon on Twitter. And then pretty good one is the sort of the lazy full-screen graphic they could put up of how many quarterbacks the Bears have had since Tom Brady became the starter.
Well, you know it's coming. You just got to swap Tom Brady out, or you know the old Brett Favre graphic, the old Aaron Rodgers graphic.
So we'll set that at 0.5.
Okay.
You going over?
No, it's going to be once. They're on Fox, right? No, they're on CBS.
They're on CBS.
Okay, yeah, I'll stand by one.
Yeah, I think so too. Joe?
Yeah, I'll go under.
Under, okay. All right, fair enough. And Joe, you did have the over-under on the Bears game.
Yeah, 49.
49. I said 24-23, so that's just 2 points under. You would have had the over then on your prediction, right, Johns?
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
Are we running through these picks?
Let's do it. Let's
rapid fire.
Yeah, we're going to have to do these pretty quickly.
I try not to be me in this setting.
Lions at Dolphins. So the Lions go to Miami now.
Got
to
check the weather.
Yeah, check the weather.
And I just deleted my picks, so go.
Oh, okay.
Little slip of hand.
I'm just surprised you even made them.
Yeah, I save your emails.
That's amazing. Okay. Dolphins, 3-point favorites. So this is basically where this line was last week when we were talking about the Bears going into Miami.
According to my iPhone, the Weather Channel app, it's supposed to be 87 and rainy on Sunday in Fort Lauderdale. Going Miami. Brocktober, baby.
Brocktober.
Yes, going Miami. They may not win, but they'll cover. They'll win. I think they'll win.
Yeah, the fact they're getting 3 points here. Nope. Vegas is not believing in the Dolphins, huh? I'm going to go Lions. Joe?
Yeah, I'm going Lions, too. Coming off the bye, I'm not really sure that the Dolphins can do what they did 2 weeks in a row.
I agree. I'm not respecting the Dolphins, either. Get out of here, Dolphins. All right, moving on.
You love the interception questions. Like I was counting for that.
I've been waiting for that one.
Vikings at Jets. It's all about the NFC, or AFC East, I should say. NFC North versus the AFC East this weekend, although the Packers are off. They're on their bye. Vikings go to New York. Jets are a 3.5-point underdog at home, noon Sunday on Fox.
I like the Vikings.
I do, too. I think they've turned a corner. I think they've figured things out a little bit more.
Hello?
Yeah, we will decline that spam call.
Sam Darnold played well last week, but I think the Vikings go in and take care of business, handle that 3.5-point spread pretty easily.
You know, if you're going to come up with a spam idea, this thing where like the first 3 digits of your own phone number comes up every time, you know it's a spam call then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why? Come up with a new strategy. I know to ignore it.
I got my first text message press release the other day from NBC Sports.
Oh, God. Was there a way to hit stop on that?
I don't know. I delete.
That's bad.
I deleted it right away.
I got enough of that crap in my email. I don't need that on my phone. That's bad. All right. Moving on. Oh, now we ruined the soundboard.
Way to go, spam caller.
Spam call.
Sexy spam bots.
Jesus Christ. All right. Saints at Ravens. 2.5-point favorite, Baltimore at home.
It's a good game.
3:05 Sunday on Fox. This is a really good game between two teams that are playing well. Saints coming off the bye. I'm going Saints here. I think the Saints are more for real than the Ravens are. That Ravens
defense. Ravens defense is for real, though.
But are they going to slow down the Saints?
Yeah. Well, maybe a little bit, but I don't think... I don't have much faith in that offense still for the Ravens.
Yeah, this is a potential game of the week. I'm really surprised by the line. I think it's a little fishy. Saints coming off the bye. I put too much emphasis on it, but I like teams coming off the bye, so I'll take the Saints and the points.
Just like we all like the Bears coming off the bye. Wah, wah.
If we win this game tonight, Adam Hall will be rhetorically dancing with his verbiage. Two outs. Here's Luke Voit pinch batting.
Cowboys head to Washington. This game, by the way, is why the Bears-Patriots did not get flexed to the afternoon spot. Because this is one of these weird now NFC-NFC games that are on CBS, so the CBS was not going to move the Cowboys to put the Patriots-Bears there. Just a little information. Cowboys at Washington. Washington, two-point favorites at home.
How about the Cowboys spanking the Jaguars last week? I still don't think the Cowboys are for real. They return to earth here.
Yeah.
Give me the Redskins.
Me too. Joe?
Yeah, make it three. Cowboys are good at home, not good on the road. I'll take the Washington Redskins.
All right, I agree. I think that last week was just a weird, weird, weird deal.
We use the word Oski.
Bengals at Chiefs. This was the game flexed to Sunday night. Patriots-Bears was not flexed Sunday night because the Patriots are already at their max of night games for the year. That's why. More
really?
Information. Man.
You're full of it.
Well, a lot of people are wondering.
In a good way.
You're full of it.
Do your research.
Yeah. No, a lot of people wonder. I mean, it's a fair question. How come this New England-Chicago game didn't get flexed? Why is it at noon?
Yeah, I don't mind.
There's your answers.
Okay.
Because the Patriots are already at their max of night games. They can't. Well, I mean, the only one they can potentially still get flexed to is Week 17 because all the rules go out the window in Week 17. And they would have been playing four in a row too.
That's not
if
right.
that had been flexed. Yeah. So that just was not going to happen. And then it was this weird thing where CBS had the Cowboys Redskins in their late afternoon window. So that's why it stuck at noon. It's fine. Johns and I aren't complaining. That's for sure.
No.
Bengals at Chiefs. Chiefs 6-point favorites. It's a good Cincinnati team.
Yeah. I'm going to pick the Bengals just to cover, though. That's it. I don't like the Chiefs' defense. Patrick Mahomes, he's still good, but there's been some more bad in his play, as we mentioned earlier. Bengals' defense isn't too bad. I think they cover. I'll leave it at that.
I think it's a tight game, but the Chiefs pull away late and do cover. Maybe a front door cover. Joe?
Yeah, I'm with Johns. I think that the Bengals cover here. Defense is much better than the Patriots, and I like the way that the Bengals' offensive game plan will be to run the ball a little bit more, keep the ball out of Patrick Mahomes' hands.
All right, let's get to the game that Joe really does care about the most this weekend. It's the Michigan Wolverines heading to East Lansing. Joe did his scouting 2 weeks ago when Northwestern was there.
What do you think, Joe?
Michigan was fun last week. I did not see that coming at all. You know, Wisconsin's a good team.
Fun for who?
For most people in the country, I'd say. And, Shea Patterson's getting a hold of the playbook. He's starting to run the ball a little bit more. They're getting healthier. I'm not sure that Rashawn Gary will play, but I don't know that that's a big factor because they got a couple of defensive linemen back. Sparty's different, though, man. Mark D'Antonio in the last 10 years is 8-2 straight up against the Wolverines, 10-0 against the spread. I don't know what kind of number you'd have to give me in order to feel comfortable, but I think Michigan wins but doesn't cover the spread.
You should give him Pat Fitzgerald's number.
Yeah.
By the way, I didn't even mention the spread. It is Michigan State 7-point home dog. This is an 11 a.m. game Saturday on Fox, so it's the early one.
Oh, and my other favorite statistic is that Michigan hasn't won on the road against a ranked team since 2006.
Okay, that's pretty notable.
Yeah.
And Michigan State went on the road, beat Penn State last week. That's why they're back in the rankings. It's a good shot for Michigan to end that streak. But this is a rivalry game. 7 points? No. Give me Sparty.
Winning or covering?
Covering, maybe winning. But I think Michigan pulls it out, but they don't
cover. Okay, I'm with you. I think Michigan wins. Spartans cover.
All right.
No.
Mike Lennon disagrees.
We haven't heard Joe's pick.
No, I said, yeah, Michigan wins. Yeah,
he made his pick. He went first. Okay. Staying in the Big Ten, number 2, Ohio State at Purdue. This is kind of odd that this is your Saturday night primetime game on ABC. But it's a tricky one, I think, for the Buckeyes. +13.5, Purdue favored at home. Or, I'm sorry, Ohio State's the favorite, obviously, but Purdue is getting 13.5 at home at night.
No, Ohio State's winning. What are you talking about?
Think they're covering?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Joe, I'm going to say Purdue covers, and I'm not predicting that they win, but if we have kind of a chaos, these games happen all the time.
Yep.
They happen all the time. If there's that weird Ohio State slip up, this could be it. This could be it. I'm just saying Purdue's playing better. They're far removed from that loss they had to Eastern Michigan earlier in the season. I think Ohio State pulls it out, but I think it's closer than most think. They don't cover, and would not shock me if Purdue pulls off a huge upset.
Yeah, they do have some weird slip-ups, the Buckeyes, but I think this one's a little different because there's going to be a lot of red. This is going to be, even though it's at Purdue, I think it'll be more of a neutral site feel. These two teams are the top two passing teams in the Big Ten. There's going to be a lot of passing yards happening on Saturday night. I think the Boilermakers cover, but Ohio State wins. So,
okay,
I'm with you. I'm with you.
Adam Jones!
And then your big marquee night game. This is where college game day is going. Number 12, Oregon at number 25, Washington State. Washington State's a 3-point favorite in this game. 6:30 Saturday on Fox. College game day finally goes to Pullman for the first time ever.
Really?
With that flag that's been at every single one. They're finally going to where the flag resides.
Huh.
There's a video on Twitter yesterday. The college game day bus pulled into Pullman. And there was like, it looked like when the United States won World War II on the streets. Like there was like this, like a parade and people hanging out of
sailors
windows
and kissing nurses.
Yeah. It was like, all right, I know this is cool that game day is coming, but settle down a little bit.
What are your thoughts on Justin Herbert?
Pretty good.
Best quarterback coming out this year.
He's a
junior, right?
I will let you know the week of the draft, but he's on that list. He's on that short list for sure.
Okay. Give me Oregon. We didn't do any locks.
You going to lock this one?
I don't know. I feel about college football, especially teams on the West Coast.
We can go back and do our locks.
Okay.
I think Oregon's a better team overall, too.
Yeah.
Little tricky because of the night game in Pullman, but yeah.
Yeah, some weird line action on this one. It's kind of gone back and forth through the numbers, and I guess I'm going with the home team. You know, their first ever game day. I think the crowd's going to be electric. I'm going with Wazoo here.
Okay, yeah, can't fault you for that. Going back and looking at a lock here, give me the Vikings going into New York against the Jets. I'm still not buying the Jets.
No.
I'll lock the Vikings.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up. No. You lock it up. You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
I'll lock up the Bears.
Whoa. Whoa. I think I need like a new soundbite for that one. That's crazy.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up. No. You lock it up. You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
Hey, if Kevin White's catching touchdown passes, they better win.
It's actually not that crazy. I mean, I did predict that this would come down to the final possession, and the Bears are getting 3 points.
Yes, so thank you. But if Kevin White, again, is catching touchdown passes without being targeted at all over the first 5 games?
That is definitely the boldest
thing. That is the sign of...
That's the boldest prediction we've ever had, yes, probably.
Yes, yes.
Joe, you got a lock here?
No. Washington. Yeah, Cowboys are going to lose for sure.
Okay.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up. No, you lock it up. You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
Can't play that one enough. All right, we got to get out of here. We forget anything? That was a jam-packed episode.
That was a good episode.
We're definitely going to miss Matt Nagy, but...
But we're there for Vic at noon. I got my questions in on Nagy yesterday. You got to be prepared. Take your shots when you got them.
I'm always prepared.
Do your research.
Exactly.
All right, let's continue this love fest.
Won't be this week.
We'll do it. It'll still be a love fest. Yeah. He'll come prepared. It won't be like this.
We use the word Oski.
It's the best. What is Tim Beckman doing these days?
I don't know.
That's a good question. All right, we got to get out of here. At Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Follow Joe at Joey Joe Rowe. Read us at WGNRadio.com/Bears. Chicago Sun-Times is where you read Johnsy. Please search Hogan Johns. Rate and review the podcast. Do it. And go get someone else to subscribe. Just go tell your friends. Subscribe. Do it. It's worth it. Voicemail lines 312-222-5050. We'll take your calls on Sunday. How will the game go? We both think it'll be close, and we both predict the Bears. That's pretty crazy. We'll talk to you on Sunday, everybody. Should be a good one.
Rob, have you heard of Adam Shaheen?
Sometimes.